Wednesday, July 23rd. My bandmates and I returned to our hotel, ordered a midnight snack of pizza, and then raved about the concert for an entire hour. It was super late when we finally went to bed, and we were already exhausted from our flight to Chicago, styling session, wardrobe fitting, sound check, and the concert. My cell phone alarm went off at 5:30 a.m. Saturday morning, but it felt like I hadn't slept at all. I yawned and opened an email from Trevor titled, "Today's Schedule," which had come in an hour earlier at 4:30 a.m. Wow, we had an exciting day ahead of us that was even more hectic than Friday. Every single minute was tightly scheduled until 10 p.m. We had a breakfast meeting, final wardrobe fitting, hair and makeup, 2-hour photo session with a professional photographer, lunch, dance practice, band practice, sound check at the stadium, dinner, then wardrobe, hair, and makeup again, and finally, our show. Phew! Just reading all that made me want to crawl under the covers and go back to sleep. But since we had a breakfast meeting with Trevor at 6:15 a.m., I dragged myself out of bed. Mackenzie was still asleep in pink satin PJs with a matching eye mask in the bed across the room. Even though she'd snagged front row seats for the tour as the social media intern, she'd thrown a huge hissy fit at the concert Friday night when she found out she didn't have backstage privileges or the chance to meet the bad boys. OMG, I felt so sorry for Mackenzie. I just lied. I did not feel sorry at all. She actually got into a big argument with the security guard stationed at the stage door and almost got arrested. What do you mean? I can't go backstage. Do you know who I am? I could have both of you fired. Those guys were hardcore. They didn't care about her phony baloney titles and refused to let her backstage. After I got dressed, I decided to sneak a peek at Mackenzie's handwritten schedule, which was lying on the desk. She planned to wake up at 9:30 a.m., have brunch with Victoria at 10:30 a.m., get a mani-pedi at 11:30 a.m., shop from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., have dinner, and then go to the concert. So when did she plan to do her job as the social media intern and promote our band? During her bathroom breaks? My bandmates wanted to sleep as late as possible, so we agreed to meet in front of the hotel restaurant right before the meeting. I stepped off the elevator and scanned the lobby. That's when I noticed a teenage guy sitting close by, reading Skater Life magazine. It was Aiden. Two of his security guys were across the room getting coffees.
"Hey, Nikki, what's up?"
Aiden smiled.
"It's 6 a.m. Isn't it a little early to be reading a skate mag?" I teased. "We have an interview on the TV show Sunrise in Chicago, and the guys are late, as usual. I swear, sometimes it feels like I'm on tour with three brainless, totally exhausted sloths. I'd give anything just to hang out at a skate park again. I guess I really miss my old life and having time to do what I love," Aiden said wistfully.
I felt sorry for him. "Well, you could always take lemons and make lemonade while you're on tour."
"Actually, I prefer energy drinks or water when I'm on stage," he muttered as he flipped a page.
"No, Aiden, what I mean is, you travel all over the world, right? Why don't you visit the best skate park in every city on your tour, even if it's just for a few hours? It would be good exercise and help burn off negative energy." Aiden blinked and then stared at me.
"I never thought of that. The best skate parks around the world? Dude, that's a skateboarder's dream."
One of his security guys interrupted and told him the limo had arrived and the guys were in the elevator on their way down.
"Thanks for the great advice, Nikki," Aiden said.
Then he whispered,
"I need to get out to the car first to spread peanut butter on the seats. It'll look like the guys pooped their pants on national TV. It will be my best prank yet. Then he opened his duffel bag, stuffed his skate magazine inside next to a jar of peanut butter, and left the lobby with his security. Aiden was a hopeless prankaholic. I suddenly felt a little sorry for his bandmates. After our breakfast meeting with Trevor, we were so busy, our heads were spinning. The Bad Boys had a second show in Chicago later that night, and we were the opening act. Everyone was unusually quiet on the limo ride over to the stadium for our show. We were about to perform in front of an excited audience of 30,000 people, and we were nervous wrecks. Then Violet said, "Hey, I don't know why we're all so nervous. I mean, I know. The 30,000 fans are there to see us and don't even care about the Bad Boys, right?" We all laughed and felt much better. At 8 p.m. sharp, my bandmates and I did a group hug backstage, and then we took our places on the dimly lit stage. My heart was pounding in my ears as the MC's booming voice echoed through the arena. "Are you ready for a great concert tonight? This hot new band's members are BFFs, both on and off the stage. Chicago, please give it up for... Actually, I'm not really sure yet." Under the blindingly bright stage lights, our fears quickly melted away as we opened with our first number, Queens, We Will Rock You. Chloe, Zoe, and I ran to the edge of the stage and busted a cool hip-hop dance move. Stomp, stomp, clap. Stomp, stomp, clap. Stomp, stomp, clap. Violet, Theo, and Marcus joined in on their instruments while Brandon pounded out the ear-popping rhythm on his drums. "Come on, Chicago!" I shouted. "Get on your feet! And rock!" Chloe and Zoe yelled. Soon, 30,000 people were on their feet, stomping and clapping to the beat while we belted the song and our band jammed on the music. OMG, the audience was louder and more excited than the one last night. We slowed things down and dimmed the lights on our second song. It was the classic, all-time favorite, Journey's Don't Stop Believin'. Everyone loved that song and clapped along. "Our final song tonight is one that we wrote," I explained. "It's a reminder to just hang in there, even when you feel like you don't fit in." The audience roared with excitement and stayed on their feet as we sang our original song, Dorks Rule. And by the time we repeated the chorus, 30,000 voices enthusiastically sang along as the stadium lit up with 30,000 twinkling cell phone lights. It was a mind-blowing experience. Chloe, Zoe, and I sang and danced our butts off, while Violet, Theo, Marcus, and Brandon played like experienced professional musicians twice their ages. By the time we finished Dorks Rule, the entire stadium was cheering madly. "Thank you! We love you, Chicago!" Chloe, Zoe, and I said as we smiled and waved. Then the seven of us lined up and bowed together. As we left the stage, I felt like I was going to burst into tears from all the energy and excitement. It was exhilarating. On their way to the stage, the Bad Boys stopped and gave us high fives. "You guys were savage out there," they raved. And they were right. We were. At that moment, I was so happy and proud to be a member of the band. Actually, I'm not really sure yet. But I was even happier and prouder to have them as my friends.